During Robert Brogdon's Olathe Buick GMC clearance event, save up to 20% on new models like the 2023 Buick Encore GX or GMC Sierra 1500. View their huge inventory at robertbrogdon.com and find your perfect match.
Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Stephen St. John and Nate Bucchetti with Jake Gutierrez on this Tuesday, July 14th. 7:01 in the a.m. Hopefully everyone's having a good morning. Thank you for spending part of it with us on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Bluma, what's up?
Good morning, good morning. How we doing?
How you doing? Where you at? Where you going? What's going on?
I'm sitting in my garage.
Oh.
Yeah.
All right. In your car or in a chair or what's happening right now?
I'm currently sitting on a cooler.
Oh,
with the garage door open, it is a beautiful. Hold on. Next to me, there are some cocktails and some Tito's, some things for Bloomapalooza. A lot of Bloomapalooza items next to me in the garage. A lawnmower, golf club, kayak equipment. But
man,
a cornucopia of things in my garage.
Are you available to catch for the Kansas City Royals, by any chance?
You know what? I was laughing with a couple people about that yesterday because I do catch all my lessons. I said I would be happy to go out to the stadium and go for a little catching tryout if they would have me. Yeah, that's a little concerning with all of our 40-man guys being on the DL. We talked about this 3 weeks ago, though. That's what going to give guys an opportunity that normally wouldn't get an opportunity. And I think that's going to happen. I don't think we know who it's going to be yet. If it's going to be any of our prospect guys, or they're going to have to sign, you know, some guys, maybe some recently released guys that haven't been in camp somewhere to get a veteran presence around. We will see. But one of the scenarios that we hoped wouldn't happen in a thin position for us, and Salvi coming back from Tommy John and unforeseen circumstances with Valoria and Cam Gallagher being unavailable could be interesting.
So we've seen some reports out of these inter-squad games about guys, certain guys playing well, especially the young guys. Bobby Wood Jr. comes to mind. How much, if anything, can we take away from what's happening in these like inter-squad games that are going on right now?
For a guy like him, that's a good sign, just because he's a young guy and he's learning and taking it all in with some more talented, probably not more talented players, but more experienced players, and just to see how he's holding his own and the speed of the game, even if it is inter-squad games, is probably a little bit quicker than he's used to, but he seems to be handling it fine. Obviously, he's a guy that's not going to probably play in any of these regular season games, but with a guy that you've got that much money invested in, you want to be, you know, having right up front and everybody to be able to evaluate what he's doing and monitor what he's doing as far as development. But I think that's a good sign for some of our younger guys and maybe guys that they didn't have in the mix as far as getting big league time this year. Because of unforeseen circumstances and because of this crazy spring training / summer camp / COVID-19 thing, you're going to have some guys that get opportunities that normally wouldn't. So in that regard, I think it's a good thing for some of our younger guys to be able to get seen and get some innings and face some guys and do some stuff that they normally probably wouldn't get to do. You know that Prado and he would have been in big league camp anyway just because of where they were drafted, but getting the opportunity to actually get at bats and get in games because you have a limited number of guys ultimately is going to help those guys' development.
Jamie Bluma is our guest. And, I mean, look, like Nate said, there have been a few young players that have looked good, but everybody has been raving about 20-year-old Bobby Witt Jr. and both at the plate and in the field. I think Lebo was the one that asked JJ Piccolo this past week if there's any possibility that he could end up playing in some of these games and being on the active roster. And JJ kind of went with the answer that, hey, look, we have to be prepared that to use any and everyone on the 60-man roster because we don't know what's going to happen. We could wake up one day and have, you know, two or three infielders test positive, and then we're forced to use guys that maybe we didn't plan to. And so it was, in a way, he answered the question, yes, the possibility is there, but we'd have to be forced into that situation. But when you're watching him and they're talking about how smooth he is in the field, how much better he looks at the plate, do you think they're outside of being forced to because guys ahead of him would test positive or something like that? Do you think they're tempted to try to look at him in some major league games, or do you think that's just a situation where, hey, break glass in case of emergency, we're not going to use him unless we're forced to?
I think break glass in case of emergency. I mean, you've got Mondesi in front of him playing shortstop, so you get a guy that he can sing. I don't know why anybody's surprised. I mean, he was second pick in the country, and he was one of the more ballyhooed high school prospects in years. You know, some people say probably the best position player prospect out of high school at shortstop since A-Rod. So I don't think this shouldn't be a shock to anyone because, you know, we heard this when we were drafting him, and he should be this talented because of where he did get drafted. He's got a pedigree with his father being an ex-major leaguer and having been around the game. He's a guy that we knew from day one. He seemed to have great off the field, loved the game, work hard, that type of thing. So none of these things come as a shock to me. I think some people may be surprised that it's come so fast, but he's 20. He was an older high school guy. He wasn't 17, and he's not just now turning 19. So maybe he was 8 or 10 months older than a normal senior, maybe because he got held back when he was younger. But still, I think it's break glass in case of emergency, but stranger things have happened. I don't think you rule anything out with how things are going this year in this pandemic type thing. I mean, you see people popping up across the league that haven't even been to spring training or haven't even been to summer camp yet, haven't even reported, and we don't even really know why in all these instances, whether it's injury-related or COVID-19-related. So I think right now you don't expect it to happen, but if push comes to shove and he's probably the most talented guy down the line, you know, maybe there's a 5% chance it happens.
You know, and I'm with you. Hey, look, my expectations for Bobby Witt Jr. are very high. He's on my radar. Like you said, he's 20 years old. And you've seen other guys come up at 20 and 21 years old and be studs. And sure. And so, I mean, you think about some of the great young players that have emerged in Major League Baseball. I don't think it's crazy at all to look at him and think, hey, this kid's close. He's this good. And like you said, the way he was described, I'm not saying to see him this year, but next year for sure. But I'm just very happy to hear that he's living up to that, and they're watching him both in the field and at the plate, and they're probably doing, well, they can't high five right now. They're probably doing the fist bump or whatever, elbow bump, saying, yeah, that's our guy. He's living up to it, and I'm with you. That's just me. He's on my radar now, and I'm gonna start looking for him next year to really at least be in the conversation about a call up. Because, like you said, 20 years old, that amount of talent, he was a mature high school player, comes from a family that the dad was a major leaguer, like young Patrick Mahomes, so maybe he's a little bit ahead of the game mentally than some of his other the other prospects at his level. And so, I'm thrilled with this. But you mentioned Mondesi, and man, how things can change about expectations and buzz. And so there were conversations about Mondesi that were, were through the roof. Seems like even before last year. What was your proclamation, Nathan? You thought he could be the top five shortstop? Was it in baseball or the American League?
Gosh, I don't even remember.
It was very strong.
I don't remember.
That's convenient.
I mean, I think the tools that scouts were telling you is that he could be one of the best shortstops in all of baseball. But the problem is the tools alone don't get you there, you know? He can do all the, like, he's got the tools. Like, he, you know, he can hit
but
for
there
power.
Were predictions for him to be that. Not to, yeah. You know, people were predicting him to be that last year. And I'm just curious, like, are we, like, you, I think you were the biggest Mondesi supporter as far as what you were projecting. Like, where's your head at now with Mondesi?
Yeah, I guess it goes to show you how much time changes, because, like, I don't feel like I quickly forget what I said, because I am not real sold on him right now. Like, it's been
Jake, help us here.
Yeah, it's
it was top five shortstop in Major League Baseball.
It was all baseball.
All baseball.
Yeah, I mean, that I recall the same conversation.
It led to a long conversation about this.
See how good my memory is. I remember Bill James tweeting something about that.
Well, he said that's where it all started. So Bill James said it, American League, and you went on top of that and said, you know what? I think he's going to be a top five in all of baseball.
Yeah, I don't feel that way anymore.
That's how it went down.
And then I think I rattled off like five shortstop. I said, he's not cracking that. And then we kind of got in this debate. But it's good to have that debate, because we don't want to all think the same thing about players, I try to open my mind to things like that. But even if it's not that lofty of an expectation, I don't hear much about him from anyone anymore. And it's not just because they're not playing baseball. It's just it's like we're gonna scale back the lofty expectations we have for Mondesi. What about you, Bluma? What is Mondesi to you?
For me, it's just a matter of him being able to stay on the field. I mean, you don't want to take away the way he plays the game. You've heard that a little bit about Bryce Harper. I was watching the thing about Ken Griffey Jr. the other night on television and how he played the game that way, but you don't want to take that away from him. Mondesi is the same way. I mean, he's had some freak things with diving and separating the shoulder and some things like that. Maybe he's a little bit more fragile than the next guy. I mean, that's part of this game, is to be able to play through soreness, but he's put himself in a position where he's had some significant injuries and missed a significant amount of time. And that's all part of, you know, being the player that everybody wants you to be, is to be able to overcome those things, or to put yourself in a situation as a player to not cause those things without taking away your aggressiveness. And that can be a tough thing and a fine line in there. But I think tools-wise, I'm excited because I think he's finally healthy. I mean, this 4 months off or 3.5 months off because of COVID, I think has given him a chance to get 100% healthy. And we've heard from people that have been out at the ballpark, the ball's coming off his bat with some authority. He's swinging the bat good as well as anybody in camp. And the tools as far as defensively are all still there. So I'm excited. It's a small sample size, but I think he's got an opportunity to put himself back in that mix, maybe not top five shortstops in the game, but at least put himself back in the conversation, you know, as not only one of the best, most talented players on this team, but a guy that can do a whole bunch of different things in this league.
So,
I mean, he's a very exciting player, and like his counting numbers are very attractive. Like last year, 20 doubles, 10 triples, 9 homers, 43 steals. That's all well and good, but my reservation has always been about him as a hitter. Like in 2018, he hit .276 with a .306 on base, .498 slug, .804 OPS. At 22 years old, okay, there's some upside here. Let's see if he's just scratching the surface. But then even when he was on the field in 2019, he hit .263, .291 on base, a .424 slug, a .715 OPS. So now you're sitting at, and he's young, but he's going to be 24. 878 at bats, and a .249 career average and a .282 on base, and we're getting close to 1,000 at bats. So I'm just curious, what's his upside? What could he be when he's a finished product? Because he's getting close to that certain point where, I mean, how long are you a prospect?
Right. Is he still what he is. You know, is he
right.
What he is, or does he still have the ability to become a better hitter at the plate? Now, I think he's still young. I mean, I know you think 24 is old, but it was only because he was up so young. And that's the difference. And I was going to say this with Bobby Witt Jr. too. him being 20 already. I mean, that's the advantage that guys that don't go through the regular draft and get to sign out of other countries is they get to sign at 16. So they start a little bit earlier than the guys can here by 2 years most times. So that's why you see a lot of Soto is the guy that comes to mind with the Nationals, with him coming up when he was 19. Harper's a completely different ball game, obviously, with what he did. But that's the difference with the Latin guys, that they sign when they're 16, and so they get that clock started a little bit early. So that makes Mondesi seem a little bit older because he came up when he was 20, 21 years old. And now we feel like he's almost an old guy at 24. But I think he's got a chance to mature, kind of get an idea of what he wants to do at the plate. And I think there's still it's going to have to happen this year and next year because, you know, after you get to be in the league, you know, 2, 3, 4 years, it's not going to all of a sudden do something completely different. Although we've seen Moose do something completely different when he was here and change the way that he went about things completely from 1 year to the next. So there's always examples of the other, but I still think he's got a chance because he's healthy. I think it's going to make a big difference for him this year.
But what sucks for him is this is a year where you could really make a case and look at his age and everything else. Well, okay, this could be a huge breakout year for him.
Well,
but it's 60 games. How much can you break out in 60 games? So this is damaging for him.
And that's what people are going to say. I mean, say he goes out and he hits 330 and he has, you know, 16 home runs and 10 triples and, you know, 55 RBIs. Well, it was only a 60-game season, blah, blah, blah. You're going to hear that, not just from Mondesi, but for anybody else this year. Like, it is what it is. And go out there and show what you can do. You know, this is what you have to work with. You know, get out of the gate hot and push it for 60 games. I mean, you got a two-month sprint. Let's get it done.
Hey, if he hits 330 with 16 home runs, I'm going to go ahead and declare it a breakout. I'm good.
100%.
I'm in. You will not hear any complaints from me. Nate Bucchetti.
Yeah, I mean, looking back at his numbers and trying to remember back to my predictions for him, it's like if he had taken a step forward from 2018 to 2019, you know, it wouldn't have seemed so outlandish, right? Like to hit 14 home runs in 75 games in 2018, he slugged almost 500. That does put him in the category. There's a lot of really good hitting shortstops in the league right now. That's one of the reasons that maybe top five would have been a little stupid on my part. But
It was exciting, but like you said, he took injuries and he kind of took a step back.
And you know, it reminds me a little bit of Angel Barroa. Now, Angel Barroa's tools diminished from his when he won that rookie season to when he just kind of seemed to fall apart as a player. And I don't know, people have theories on that, and I don't know why that is. But his tools did not seem as great by the end as they were, and he, you know, like, he should have been getting better at that point at his age. But I think the biggest issue for Barroa was he had zero plate discipline whatsoever, and he never developed it. And once big league pitchers figure out that they don't have to throw you anything that you can hit, they stop throwing you stuff you can hit. And that was always kind of a red flag for Mondesi, if I remember correctly. I'm not looking at his minor league stats right now, but if I remember correctly, even in the minor leagues when he was putting up numbers, his ability, you know, his strikeouts and his percentage of chasing pitches out of the strike zone and things like that, it was never good. And some guys can maybe develop that. He might not ever turn into a guy that walks a ton, but can he at least turn into a guy that spits on the bad pitches till he gets one he can hit? And if you don't develop that, Bluma, as a hitter, you're not long as a player, because pitchers figure that out and then they exploit it. And I wonder if that's part of the problem for Mondesi. His on base percentage, we talked about it, is you know, below 300 for his career.
Well, and that's the key, is guys have to be able to adjust to the league when the league's adjusting to you. I mean, pitchers start getting the book, there's more video and more analysis and more numbers than there's ever been. It gives guys the opportunity to see, you know, what his weak points are. And he's got to be able to work with those weak points and make those, not necessarily strengths, but make them less weak, whether it's chasing balls out of the strike zone or, you know, chasing fastballs up in the zone when he's down the count. I mean, he's got just as many metrics to understand where he needs to work on and get better at as pitchers do when they're going against him. And it's whoever makes the most adjustments. Hopefully, with him being 24, he still has that ability to do that. Where, I mean, you get to be 26, 27, 28. I mean, you are what you are. Hard to make, you know, teach an old dog new tricks at that point. But I think with his relative youth still and his health, I think he's got an opportunity in a two-month sprint to be able to do some things maybe that we don't expect, and hopefully that's what happens.
So to bring this full circle now, we see Bobby Witt Jr., and you described the elite prospect that he is, Bluma, and he's turning heads, and people are raving about him in these workouts, and I get it, they're but that's all he can do right now is impress people with what they're doing, and so he is on the fast track to the major leagues, we would think. And so how long do you think before he's knocking on the door, and do you think that we'll start getting to a point pretty soon to where we're looking at, well, he's the shortstop, not Mondesi? Or do you think when Witt comes up, they'll have to find another spot for him, and Mondesi holds on to shortstop? Who's the shortstop of the future for this team, like, say, in three seasons?
Well, I think it all depends on what happens not only this year with this shortened season and, you know, what is going to happen next year. We have no guarantees that we're going to roll into a 162-game season next year with as bad as this pandemic has been. So, I think that's key, what happens this year and then what happens in the offseason and moving into next year. We can't make that determination now. I mean, I would say 5 or 6 years down the road, Witt's your guy, but for this foreseeable future, Mondesi's still your guy until he proves otherwise. And I think these 60 games are going to have a lot to say on what the team feels like 21 and beyond.
Nate, what do you think? Because, I mean, Witt's not sitting, when he's 23 years old, Witt's not going to be sitting at AAA. He's going to be on this, he's going to be on this baseball team unless something has gone totally wrong. I mean, he's already 20 and he looks fantastic. And I think I'm being somewhat conservative there, putting this 3 years from now. But I do think it's going to be interesting to see how this develops and how quickly he'll be banging on the door at shortstop at the major league level, or if the plan is to get these guys in the same infield or in the same lineup, and it's not going to be one or the other, it's going to be both.
Yeah, I right now, first of all, I look at this time for Bobby Witt Jr. with the team as kind of like when you go to spring training and young prospects will get a spring training invite and they get to work out with the big league club. They get to maybe play in some of the spring training games early in March, and then they get sent over to the minor league camp at some point in time. But it's like it's a chance to get them in and around the big league environment, get them around some of the other players, pitch or hit against some big league pitching during spring training, and just kind of get them a taste, even though they're not really ready to be there yet. And that's kind of how I view this with Bobby Witt Jr., because, you know, if you look at his rookie ball numbers last year, they really weren't anything impressive. But that was rookie ball, and, you know, he had just gotten drafted, so I'm not holding that against him. I'm just saying I don't think he's a guy that right now you go, oh, he's ready. You know, he's ready to threaten. And I know you're not saying that, Stephen. I guess I want to see him playing some real minor league baseball and put up some numbers for a little bit before I make too many judgments on how quickly he's going to move. But down the road, I think a lot of it, let's say that Bobby Witt Jr. progresses the way we think he should and can, and he steams through single A and double A, then he puts up some really good numbers in triple A, and then a couple years from now, he's ready to get a call up. If that's the case, then to me, it's all about what Mondesi's doing with the bat. Because Mondesi's a good enough athlete that he could be your center fielder of the future. If he can hit, if his bat carries a position, there's a spot on the field for him. And I know that's the philosophy from talking to J.J. Piccolo and Dayton Moore and Gene Watson and Scott Sharp and all those guys, I know how the organization views shortstops. They view a good shortstop as a guy that if you can play shortstop at the major league level, you can play pretty much every position on the field. And probably better than the guy that's playing it right now, in most cases. So I think in Mondesi, I mean, he's got elite speed. He's got a really good arm. I think that he could transition into a Gold Glove caliber center fielder if you needed him to, or one of those positions. So I think it's a good problem to have. I mean, I think what you hope for is that Mondesi actually does develop with the bat, and then if Bobby Wood Jr. is pushing him, then you've got spots for him on the field. Bloomer, what do you think?
I agree. I mean, that's the thing with having athletes all over the field is you can put them anywhere. I mean, Merrifield's proven that, you know, he came up as an infielder or whatever. He's made the transition to an outfielder. Alex Gordon clearly was the third baseman. He got drafted. Now he's turned himself into a Gold Glove outfielder. That's the great thing about having athletes. One thing I was going to say earlier about Bobby Witt is, you know, once the regular season starts here next Friday, what kind of at-bats is he going to get? Is our taxi squad and our, you know, the other guys on that 60-man, what are they going to be doing? Are they going to be, you know, playing against each other in simulated games as well? Is he still going to get to see, you know, our second tier of pitchers that we have waiting in the wings just in case something happens? Is he going to get regular at-bats off those guys? Is that going to be in a cage? Is that going to be on a field somewhere? Is that going to be at Kauffman when the team's on the road? I mean, those are some questions moving forward. I know we're not going to have full minor leagues or anything like that. Are they going to send some guys to the spring training site and hopefully try to get some guys some development against their own players and that kind of thing moving forward? Because it's great that he's around the club right now and he's getting some ABs and he's getting to soak all that stuff in. But ultimately, those at-bats and those innings are going to go to the guys that are on the active roster. And what does that mean for him moving forward? I mean, it's great to be around it, but unless you're, you know, in competition, even in an inter-squad standpoint against your own guys that are the next tier guys, you want that development to move forward.
Steven,
what do you think you're going to do? They're going to do what would you do with Bobby Witt? Like, what would you do with these players once the regular season starts?
Well, I mean, I think that's a decision every team's got to make. I mean, you're going to have a facility or a site, whether it's the big league site, you have another field when the team is home, or you can use your big league field when the team is on the road. And I think they're going to have to continue as if they were kind of like a Triple-A team, but it's just inter-squad stuff, where you're getting your innings in and you're still getting at-bats against the next tier of guys. I mean, we can call them what we want to call them, taxi squad, Triple-A, whatever you want to do, but I think you're going to have to continue to keep those guys doing stuff to keep sharp. They're going to have to be facing hitters, and they're going to have to be live situations or something like that. You can't just, you know, roll your 30 guys out there the first week and the other guys are just sitting around and watching those guys play and not do anything. So there's going to have to be some sort of contingency plan as far as those, you know, those next 20 guys. What they're doing and how they're continuing to stay sharp, and because we're going to need them. I mean, things are going to happen. The injuries are going to happen. COVID's going to happen, especially when you start traveling and moving around the country. We're not in a bubble like the NBA or MLS or anything like that. So I think there are going to be problems, and you have to be able to have guys ready for that next wave, and I'm anxious to see what that's going to be.
Yeah, I know Dayton talked about that yesterday at his news conference about the different facilities they might be able to use for the guys to get some action in playing some baseball. Hey, Steven, to go back to it, help me out. My memory sucks. When the Texas Rangers had Elvis Andrews, who was the other shortstop that was young at the time that they had?
Profar.
Yeah, Jerickson Profar.
Jerickson Profar.
I think it was Profar.
Thank you, Steven. Way to go, Steven. Knew I could count on you.
My name is Steven now. Yeah. You can call me Steven.
Call me Encyclopedia Brown.
But I remember that the Royals, you know, they tried to acquire both of those guys in trades during the time because a lot of people thought, well, the Rangers got two shortstops. They don't need them. And the Rangers' philosophy at the time was, oh, we'll find a place for both of them. You know, we can play both these guys on the field at the same time. And not necessarily to say that both of them developed the way that you thought they would, but I think that that philosophy has been brought up to me a couple of times by the Royals themselves. Like, hey, when you got multiple guys that are athletes that can play all over the field, you don't have a log jam. What you have is options. And I think that's what the Royals think they've got there.
Let's see. What did the he was traded as part of a three-team trade by the Rangers to the A's. The A's sent Eli White and international bonus slot money to the Rangers. The A's sent Emilio Pagan and a competitive balance round B pick to the Rays. And the Rangers, the Rays sent Yoel Espinal, Kyle Bird, and Brock Burke to the Rangers. So. Well,
Profar didn't ever really turn out to be the player they thought he was going to be. Remember when he was a prospect, people in baseball thought this guy was going to be an incredible baseball player. And that's when the Royals had tried to acquire him, was back when he was a prospect, because Elvis Andrews was already up, and the Rangers like, nope, they wouldn't trade him at that time because they thought they had a superstar on their hands.
Yeah, and they turned out to be wrong, and they didn't get much for him, but he turned into a decent hitter. I mean, last 2 years, he's hit 20 home runs, but, you know, his slash line has got awful. And so that's an interesting comparison because, yes, they did have a couple of guys there, but one of them turned out to be nothing close to what they thought he would.
And that's a possibility for the Royals. You know, it's possible that Mondesi doesn't progress offensively, or that Bobby Witt Jr.'s hit tool doesn't develop the way that you think that it might. I mean, that just happens in baseball.
Mondesi's already accomplished more than Profar did. I'll say that.
And he has shown that the tools translate at the major league level. If he can stay healthy and if he can maybe, you know, work on his play discipline a little bit, I think he's got still, I mean, like you said, he's only 24. I mean, he's still got the chance to develop into a really good player. But this would have figured to have been a big year for him.
Right.
It still can be somewhat of a big year for him. I mean, that's a smaller sample size, but and if he comes out and he hits 220 over 60 games, now you're in a pickle, you know? Bobby Witt's really not ready. Bobby Witt's not ready to be an everyday big leaguer next year. And Mondesi comes out and hits 220 this year and doesn't have a good year at all. That's worst case scenario.
Yeah, I mean, my whole point with that for Mondesi and this being damaging for him is that's a guy you really want to have this year at this specific time, 162 games to evaluate him, and you just don't get it. And that every team's facing it, every player's facing it, but for some players, the missed opportunity is more damaging than others. For guys like Mondesi, but he could go out and be balls to the wall for 60 games, and we'll all feel a lot better about it. But
sure, but that does that give you a false sense of security moving forward into 2021?
Well,
maybe.
Yeah, I mean,
I'd rather have that than him going out there and crap in the bed. You know what I mean? Or getting hurt again.
Sure.
So that, you know, it is what it is. But for some players, boy, you'd love to have that. You would just at this age and everything else, man, you just love to have 162 games to evaluate him, and you don't have it. And so 60 games will do. We'll take a break. Back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Stephen St. John and Nate Buchady with Mr. Jamie Bluma. Bluma, let people know how they can get hold of you if they want baseball lessons, please.
913-320-4404. Or you can hunt me down on – I've actually gotten a whole bunch of thank you, Stephen, because a couple people you sent my way via Facebook or Twitter.
Ah.
Bundy Jr. 19 at the Twitter and Facebook messages. Most people know how to find me on there. Our facilities are located in Olathe at 2 2115 East Kansas City Road, next to Furniture Mall of Kansas by Bass Pro, or 5000 Bannister Road, 435 in Bannister. And actually, yesterday, today, and tomorrow, if you are in the restaurant industry or food service of any type industry, we are actually having, on the Missouri side, we are having at our location in Bannister is a test site for COVID-19. So if you are in the restaurant business, please go get a free COVID test over there. Drive up, drive through. We are hosting that for the 3 days, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, this week. So take advantage. If you're looking for a place to go get a test, Missouri resident, please do that at our Bannister location.
And tell people again the particulars on that, because that is very important.
Anyone in the restaurant industry, food service industry, I know people that have worked in a Price Chopper in the food service. I know any waitress, server, bartender, anybody in that industry, Missouri resident at our Bannister location, 5000 Bannister Road, drive-through COVID-19 test. I think there is a link. I put it up on my Facebook yesterday. I will post it again today. And I think you can just drive through. I'm not 100% sure on that. Obviously, better if you get an appointment. But I think they're taking walk-ups to or drive-ups to. But there may be a waiting list if you're there, as far as that goes. But please take advantage of that. I know a lot of people have. And hopefully anybody that needs to find out if they're positive or negative, to figure out what that means moving forward, there's an opportunity to do it at our home field location on 5000 Bannister Road.
That's Jamie Bluma joining us. And Bloom, I know that you had a nice conversation with our friend Frank Shemeka last night, and you're very excited. You're very excited about the new retail market and deli featuring their famous Italian sausage down in Northtown, NKC, 1611 Swift. It's going to be open Monday through Thursday from 10 to 6, and then Friday from 10 until 4. They have a very delicious menu, it appears.
I did see the menu. We laughed about that extensively yesterday. I need to, as soon as I can, I need to get up there to 1611 Swift and have a sandwich. And your dad actually yelled at me last night and said, "Don't be coming to my place now." And I said, "Hey, your place is El Pollo. Your place is El Pollo Ray." I ran into your dad there with Emily and Eric and Nard and crew a couple of years ago, and your dad was like, "Get out of my spot." And then last night he sends me a little note that says, "Stay out." Like, man, they're not all yours. That needs to be my spot. No, but got a chance to talk to Frank. I know this has been something they've had in the works for a while. I'm excited for him to get it open. I think Phil's got a sandwich. You've got a sandwich. I'd like to thank those guys for putting my little testimonial on their website. Happy to be a part and help them moving forward. What a great group of people. And they've been nothing but great to me through Red, White, Bluma and Blumapalooza, and just as friends and, you know, loyal 810 advertisers and all that stuff. But really excited to call them friends and excited to get up there and see their new place.
Yeah, I've known I went to high school with Frank and his sister Tony, so I've known them for years and years and years. And this is going to be a great place for a lunch spot. Just go in there and purchase your Shemeka's products. But they have I'm looking at some of the – and, yes, Nate, you've asked about this several times. You could get a hold of my sausage now anytime you want.
That's right.
Go to shemekasonline.com to get the menu and all the information you need. But they have available the St. John Sausage Sub. It's their famous Italian sausage served on an Italian hoagie topped with sautéed bell peppers and onions. I don't know.
There's no way that's a foot long. Like
no, it's you're going to have two of those to satisfy you. I can see that. And so, but no,
that sounds delicious, actually.
I want the ultimate Shemeka sampler. Cheese lasagna topped with homemade spaghetti sauce, chicken parmesan, and Italian sausage with peppers and onions included with some Italian bread. Just give me that and talk to me later.
That sounds good. I'm hungry. Maybe we'll go today.
Right,
man.
That is awesome.
I just pick something up. It's going to be great down in Northtown. And so for more information to order, and you can order online. Jake, you can order my sausage online. Something I've dreamed of since I was a little boy, that people could have access to my sausage online.
That's an absolute nightmare for me.
I know. I've been offering my sausage to people for years. Finally, people are interested. ShemekasOnline.com is where you can go for is where you can go for that. Jamie Bluma. So thank
you
very much.
Thank you guys.
All right.
Always a pleasure.
It is always a pleasure to talk to you, Mr. Bluma. Say hello to Emily for us, and we will talk to you again next week.
All right. Thanks, guys.
That's Jamie Bluma. We had one email from someone listening, which is always a shock that someone's listening.
Mm.
But we appreciate the input. We have Paul says, just look at Mondesi's stats in April and May last year and project that. He just needs to stay healthy. Thanks, regular listener, Paul. So Paul is still on the bandwagon. You know, so am I. I wanted to take your temperature because I know you were very aggressive in your praise of Mondesi. I wanted to hear what Bluma had to say because at some point, and maybe I need to slow my roll down on Bobby Witt Jr. But he is 20, and I don't think it's unreasonable to think at 22 or so that we're talking about him hopefully making a push at the major league level. And I just wonder when that happens, what will the status of Mondesi be? Will it be, okay, Mondesi's locked in, he's our shortstop, but we got to make room for Witt, so we're going to move Witt, we're going to move Mondesi. I mean, you've already heard him talking about Witt playing third base and how good he looked there. And so I'm down with that. I mean, best case scenario, Mondesi locks it down in the major league level, Witt makes a push, and they find a spot for both of them. That's what we want, but that doesn't always happen. Just like what you said, and that was a very good example, Nate Bucati, that the Rangers, we got these two stars, and there you go. And now in retrospect, the Rangers should have jumped all over any deal that they were offered for Profar. Andrus has been a very fine shortstop. Profar did not live up. He's a good solid major leaguer. But I bet you if we look back, if we could find out what some of the offers were that they got when he was a top prospect, it would be a Homer Simpson. Dope! But that's baseball, man.
That's right.
That's the trick. You know, if you go back in a time machine, I'm sure there's plenty of opportunities like that the Royals had where they thought highly of someone and it didn't pan out and they kept him too long. And the Rangers did that with Profar. I hope it's the opposite with the Royals and they find out that Mondesi and Witt both are kicking ass, because that will help clear the path back to the playoffs for the Kansas City Royals. They have both those guys highly productive in the lineup at some point. And I hope I see it. So... there.
Oh boy.
What's wrong now?
Well, I just
what happened?
I just came across nothing bad, but I just came across an article about Post Malone playing beer pong with Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce that I feel like I need to read. No, nothing at all.
They were doing that backstage and remember we talked about it on the air when Mahomes, how many straight games did he win? Against Kelce and Post Malone, Pounders, where he like won 13 or 14 straight games of beer pong. He wins everything. He's good at everything.
That was the day of the parade, right?
Right. Yes.
Yeah.
So when they were at the concert.
We talked about the next day. We had the picture. I mean, he went with wasn't it DeMarcus Robinson?
Yeah,
Travis,
I remember that.
The Jonas Brothers.
I don't know if I was here the day we talked about the beer pong. I don't. This is news to me.
Yeah, they got after it backstage.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
How about that?
Ladies and gentlemen, on the cover of GQ magazine, Mr. Patrick Mahomes.
How do you like that tracksuit?
Beautiful.
What color would you say that is?
Success.
That's right.
Money.
Success green.
Whatever he says it is, that's what it is. I mean, it's fantastic. That tracksuit, and I promise you this, that is absolutely, looks like that's right out of the closet of Steve St. John Sr. in the early 80s. You better believe my dad wore tracksuits like that and felt good about it. And see, now I wish my dad would have kept those from the early 80s. They're right back in style now. You like, what do you think of that big 15 around his neck?
I think that, you know, everything on him looks awesome.
Are you seeing this, Jake?
I'm in the middle of something completely different right now.
tell us about that.
Nope. Hotkey error. My operator won't read my audio.
Read this. Say that again. I want to hear it. It's very slow. Say what you just said.
Hotkey error. Server won't read my audio.
Mm-hmm. What'd you do wrong?
I tried to
play. Is this your fault?
No. I tried to play the applause and then play Mahomes saying that's awesome. That's awesome.
Maybe the system is starting to evolve and decided that was not worthy of applause and it shut you down. Maybe the system
is awesome.
Yeah. Show him the damn tracksuit. I mean, he looks good.
Well, of course he does. He's GQ,
man. Well, no, I'm talking about he's got that pinky ring, mm-hmm. got a nice bracelet, a very nice
watch on. Yeah.
That big 15. I like that pinky ring. That's a statement right there. No, everything about it. That's. I was going to say, he looks GQ. Well, sure he does, because it's on.
That is awesome.
Yeah. It says, the new leader of the NFL, Patrick Mahomes. Boy. Sometimes you just see it, and it really reminds you that it's happening.
Oh. That looks like it's out of the 90s.
80s, man.
Late
80s,
early
you.
90s.
Yeah, you know. Yeah, 80s.
His look too, he's got a very intense look about him too. Like he's
everything about it is wonderful, is what I'm saying. Let's take a break. Patrick Mahomes on the cover of GQ. Back after this on WHB.